the more you are aware of the spiritual nature of life, the more you see the moment of death as a moment for release, for taking off the tight shoe. And the art form in dying is that at the moment of death, you are neither grabbing at life nor pushing it away. You're neither pushing nor pulling. It's the attraction and aversion that keeps you holding to form. So to prepare for the moment of death, when the processes that go on in consciousness are a dissolving of boundaries, a speeding up of awareness, a kind of an opening and expanding, to be in that process where you don't go, no, and grab hold, one prepares. One prepares for the moment of death. And it's interesting that in almost all the Eastern traditions, people see one of the works of life is the preparation for the moment of death. Now, each person does what they can do. We don't make believe we're more ready than we are. So that I'm very pleased that we're getting to the point now where people can decide how much pain medication they need in collaboration with their doctor, rather than the nurse saying, you had it 4 hours ago, you can't have any more. Each person knows, and when they know they have control over their pain medication, they need a lot less, it turns out, because a lot of it is their fear of pain that they're dealing with. So with Mary, as I started to get to know her, she was an absolutely beautiful human being. Her family had ostracized her, and she had wonderful, many, many wonderful friends. And we started to be together in the hospital. When she was finally in the hospital, we just sit and hold hands and look in one another's eyes. And what I then was able to do, see, after the first stage, when you empathize with the pain of another person, then comes the next stage where you start to meet the person behind it all. It's like, are you in there? I'm in here. Far out. What are you doing in there? I mean, if I can just run you through this kind of oversimplified model, if you had a little television receiver channel right here next to your eyes, what you're finding, what we're talking about, is planes of consciousness or channels on a television set. And most of us, most of the time in this culture, act as if we have a one or two channel set. We don't have cable. And today we're talking about cable. We're talking about acknowledging all these other channels that are floating around in the room, but we're not picking them up because we don't know how to tune our receiver. That's basically what this is about. So on the first channel, when you look at another human being, you see old, young, dark, light, fat, thin, etc. You see physical body. And if you're obsessed with your physical body, that's what you see when you look in the world, other people's physical bodies. That's the channel you're on. If you flip one channel, then you're in the psychosocial realm. You see power and you see happiness and sadness and neurosis, and it's the therapy channel. It's the social role channel. It's where there are mothers and truck drivers and all lawyers and all the different roles and identities, all the social stuff. And that's all a channel, and that's as the world turns, and it's a never-ending source of fascination. I mean, it just goes on and on and on and on. Most people are happy with channel two. That's in channel one and two, about 98% of the people you've ever known are busy with those two channels all the time. But now we're talking about something else. We're talking about shifting. Now you shift one more channel, and there's a little in-between one, which is called, it's like the astral plane. It's where you're dealing with archetypes, the Jungian archetypes. You're dealing with what's called astral or mythic roles and mythic identities. It's that sort of place where you see people in their mythos rather than in their personality structures. And that's where you see, and then you look at me and you say, he's an Aries, I just knew it. You know, it's a Sagittarius and Leos, and you see there's 12 of us in various permutations. If you flip to the next channel, you go behind all those individual differences and you just see another soul just like you that has all that packaging that's different than you but is just another being just like you. That's when you say, are you in there? I'm in here. How'd you get in that one? And you see all of the stuff of the personality and the astral and the mythic and the body and all of it as like packaging. And you see the spiritual individual entity. And just for fun, if you turn the channel once more, what it is you're looking, it's looking at itself, looking at itself. There's only one of it. It's awareness, aware of itself. And just to keep the Buddhists happy, you turn it once more and it all disappears, which is basically the one in itself. It's basically the one in itself rather than looking at itself. Now, our predicament is that as long as you're on channel one and two, you are afraid of death. Until you are rooted in these other levels of reality, that gives you a perspective about death that allows you to see death as a transformation of things which change. You can intellectually know from channel one and two that after all, it's all nature and we are going to die, but that doesn't dissipate the fear. The fear comes from a gut intuitive knowing that comes from acknowledging these other parts of your being. And I say acknowledging. It's not learning them as if you're getting them from outside. It's acknowledging them from within yourself. And almost everybody has information about these all the time, but everybody's busy not having it. When you're too busy in channel one and two, you treat information from these other channels as if it's error in the system. It's static. I can't bring in the channel clearly, you know. Somehow, I mean, it was interesting. When I was a psychologist, which I guess I still am, when I was a research psychologist, the best we could do in predicting human behavior, psychological behavior, were correlations around 50 or 55, 60 when we were lucky. That's accounting for about 30% of the variability. That means 70% of the differences, the variability, we couldn't account for. And we said, well, that's just the fact that our tools aren't good enough yet. Well, we called it error variance. Error variance includes karma. It includes all of the other planes of reality that explain who we are at this moment. And I just like to keep the door open for some of these things.